Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Scripture lessons are from Psalm 130 and the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. Today's message is titled, Lazarus. Psalm 130, a song of ascents. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Here ends the psalm. The Gospel of John, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he said this, he went on to tell them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking up of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas called Didymus said to the rest of the disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is to your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer of Martin Luther. A very sad moment. A very, very sad moment. A young mother gently rocks in the rocker as she hugs her baby boy whose life is ebbing away. Nothing more could be medically done in the newborn intensive care unit at Children's Hospital. I was there standing by the young mother rocking her baby boy as death arrived. He is gone. And the tears flow as the son grabs hold of the, as the sobs grab hold of the child's mother, shaking her whole body. Such sadness. Prayers for compassion, prayers for mercy, prayers for grace to comfort this young mother and her mother that was standing beside her as they are kept as the others are kept busy caring for the other babies in the NICU. About a half hour passes, and the young mother, at the encouragement and urging of her mother, who has been with her the whole time, says, "Get up. Let's go home." Laying her baby boy back down in the bassinet. As she departs, the nurse with me, whom I'm standing with also, she begins to care for the baby boy one last time. The blanket that once kept the baby boy warm in his bassinet now becomes a shroud as she carefully wraps him in the blanket for the walk to take the body to where it needs to go. We try to go down the back way, but neither of our badges get the doors to budge in response. The main elevators are the only option. Praying that we meet no one on the way down, we enter the main elevator, for it's inescapable to anyone who may see us what the nurse is carrying. By God's grace, we make it down and through the hallways, encountering no one. Lord, we prayed for weeks. Lord, we prayed for healing these past weeks. We prayed for wonders and miracles, and still death came to this little baby boy. Lord, if you had been here, this would not have happened. Moments like these are indelibly etched in people's minds, like mine and perhaps yours, where tears flow from the deep, deep sadness flowing from the depth of the soul as a loved one departs. Lord, if you had been here. Lazarus is sick, very, very sick. Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary. You know, the Mary who cried over Jesus' feet as she anointed them with very expensive perfume and then tenderly wiped his feet with her hair. Seems a very special relationship had come to be between Jesus and this family in Bethany. So close that Mary and Martha would send word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." The Greek word translated love here is the one that characterizes the love that intimate friendships have. That heartfelt kinship was there between Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Lord, behold, whom you love is sick. Strangely, Jesus does not respond immediately. I use the word strangely, for with a close, loving relationship being present, I would expect Jesus would go do the same. He'd get up and go. I mean, I'd expect you to drop everything and get up and go. That's what I would do, drop everything and go. I'm sure you would do the same for a dear, dear friend, drop everything and go. Instead, to his disciples, Jesus says this, John 11, verse 4. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Not end in death. What is happening is for God's glory, so that God's Son will be glorified, showing who the Son truly is. Glorify, doxazo, glorifying, doxazo. It means valuing him for who he truly is. Doxazo, that's glorifying. What is happening, what this is happening in Lazarus, is so you will see who he really is. That's Jesus. You will see who Jesus really is and value the reality of who he really is. John, writing his Gospels, makes sure you know Jesus does indeed love Martha, Mary, and Lazarus by writing John 11, verses 5 and 6. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Verse 5. For love, agapeo, agaeho. I want to try that again. Agapaho, agahapo, a form of agape, And it's that all-encompassing love. Jesus has that all-encompassing love for Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they understood the love to be that friendship, that deep, deep friendship of kinship love. But the love from Jesus was that all-encompassing love. And yet, Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days. In verse 6, there is a Greek word which is untranslatable, but it's used to bring forth contrasted clauses. The English word yet is intended to do that here. Jesus loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And the contrast then that's really being brought forth it, yet he does not go to Lazarus, who is very sick. So in the Greek, there's a word there that's untranslatable into English, but it really brings the effect of Jesus loves them. And yet you have this contrast, he doesn't go to them. John's gospel does not tell us, and we do not know where Jesus was. Nor do we know how far from Bethany he was. Neither do we know what he was doing at the moment word reached him. Lazarus is very sick. Perhaps the needs of the moment were far greater than the needs of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Jesus needed to stay where he was. Lazarus can wait, for it is to the glory of God what is happening. Then a few days later, in the midst of what Jesus was doing and the disciples were doing, we don't know, John doesn't tell us, Jesus says, let's go back to Judea. It seems to come out of the blue. Let's go back to Judea, meaning go back to Bethany. Wait a minute. They want to kill you back there. They just tried to stone you. And Jesus answers, Jesus, he has work to do. And as long as there is daylight to do the work, he has work to do. He has to go wake Lazarus from his sleep. Oh, if you sleep, it means the fever is broken. Lazarus will be fine. You don't need to go back. No need to put your life in danger, Jesus. He will be fine, right? Need to remember, Bethany is less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Beginning in John chapter 11, verse 14. So then he, that's Jesus, told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Did you hear? Jesus is glad he was not there. Jesus was rejoicing that he was not there. That's what the Greek word means, rejoicing. Yes, that's the meaning of the Greek word, rejoicing. He's rejoicing for something far greater will now happen than if Jesus had been there and simply healed Lazarus of his fever. Something greater is in the works. Something greater will come to be. All to the glory of God in your own life. Perhaps it's something greater is coming to be to the glory of God. Consider that this something greater is in the works to bring glory to God in your life. It's not that God's not hearing your prayers or listening to your cries. Rather, the Lord is rejoicing because through you, greater glory of God will be put on display. Displayed for a reason, that you will believe in a greater manner, or that others, seeing what's happening in your life, others may come to believe. Believe. It means really to be persuaded. That sacred persuading that comes from the Lord, which is faith in you. The greater of this inbirthing of faith in you or in another's life through you, what's going on in your life, in birthing of faith. It's all to the glory of God. 4 days in the tomb, dead. The 4 days is mentioned twice. It's emphasized. As soon as life departs, the human body, begins to decay. The blood separates. Cell structures begin to rupture, releasing enzymes. These enzymes then destroy the cells from the inside. And by day three, there's bloating and putrefaction, along with all those other bugs and insects that may come along. Not pleasant to behold before the days of embalming. Martha says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Martha and Mary are well aware of the many miracles Jesus has done. Such that Martha adds, John 11, verse 22, "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." My brother would not have died, but I know even now God will. That but is a strong adversative conjunction. It's present in the Greek. And what a strong adversative conjunction does, it cuts off what came before and focuses on what is now here. It cuts off what was said before. No matter of the reality that was already happened, her brother is dead. But even now I know whatever you ask God, God will do. John 11, beginning of verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will die, even though he will live, even though he dies." Let me say that again. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." This encounter is taking place for the glory of God. And this encounter has only taken place as a result of Lazarus being dead. This conversation, nor this, "I am the resurrection and life," would they have been spoken without the reality of Lazarus being dead? A greater work of God is happening. A greater work of God is happening. And it's to the glory of God. Mary, too, soon arrives after being sent for by Martha. John 11, verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." The mourning, the wailing filling the air, it moves Jesus, too. It deeply moves Jesus. To understand the Greek word of this deeply moves Jesus. Have you ever seen a horse snort? Really snort? How that entire massive muscled structure of the horse shivers and quivers with such energy and anger that it bursts forth in a loud, powerful snort. It's a snort generated deep inside, and it's moved with the entirety of the horse's muscle bursting forth in that snort. Have you seen a horse do that? The energy of that. This is how deeply Jesus is moved. And then quiet tears stream down Jesus' cheek as he silently weeps. Wept Jesus. that verse 35. John 11, beginning at verse 36 now. The Jews then said, "See how he loved him." Some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" The events of the eyes of the man born blind, they're recorded in John chapter 9. It's freshly in people's minds because it just recently happened. The blind man, born blind, he's given sight. Couldn't Jesus, who did that, kept this man from dying? John 11, beginning of verse 35 now. Actually, in verse 38. John 11, beginning of verse 38. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved, and again, that's that horse snort word used again, deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Earlier, remember, Jesus said to the disciples that Lazarus' death is for the glory of God. And to the Son, so that the Son will be glorified through it. Now to Martha and all who are in earshot, Jesus says, "You will see the glory of God." Jesus prays. He clearly prays loudly for the crowd to hear. John 11, beginning of verse 41. So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus prays loudly for the benefit of the crowd, for the crowd to make the connection of what is happening so the crowd would come to faith. The crowd would believe the Father sent the Son, sent this Jesus who is praying before them. Consider this when you pray. Pray in a manner that makes it clear to whomever may hear you and see you praying, to whom you are praying and why you are praying. Simply praying God and concluding in your name, it's not as clear as praying Father and concluding in the name of Jesus. Consider how you pray for the benefit of those who hear you praying and see you praying, so they too may come to faith and believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus prays out loud so the crowd will make the connection that Jesus is the Son sent by the Father. John 11, verse 43. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Also, "Lazarus, come forth." I like the "Lazarus, come forth" translation. It's more emphasis of the command. With the stone removed, Jesus stands before the tomb and prays to the Father out loud for all to hear. And then with a loud, piercing cry, "Lazarus, come forth," the cacophony of the command crashing and reverberating with such power that even the dead hear it. The Greek word out loud, crying out loud, the Greek word, it means shrieking. Loudly shrieking. Shrieking. So loud was this command Jesus gave. "Lazarus, come hither." So loud was the command. commanded to come to Jesus. Remember, I briefly mentioned earlier, Lazarus' body, after 4 days in the tomb, would have already been bloated in putrefied condition. It's more than life being recalled. The body had to be made whole. An act of creation power is needed. Creation power, presenting a healthy and whole Lazarus coming forth. All that in a twinkling of eye, in a moment, in a flash, what was bloated and putrefied in the creative power of the command, come forth, Lazarus, is made whole. In that cacophony of Christ's cry, the power, creative power put forth, the power that called a dead man to life. And that power can do wonders in your life too. John 11, verse 44, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Take off the grave clothes, let him go. The evidence, the remaining signs of death and putrefaction were removed. And Lazarus was alive and whole and set free. The power that did that for Lazarus is the same power that says to you, your sins are forgiven. The finished work of Christ on the cross truly redeems and saves. All the evidence of your death and putrefaction in sin is removed, and you are set free. You truly are forgiven. Psalm 130, verse 7, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if you want the evidence of your sin, that putrefaction and ugliness of your sin is completely removed. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. This is for God's glory. And the Son was glorified through it. Just as Jesus said to his disciples. The result, John 11, verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. Trust these words of life that Jesus spoke a little earlier. John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus and just take him at his word. The evidence is all there. The evidence is all there. He is the resurrection and the life. And you are made new in him. The evidence is there. And I can prove that evidence to you with one simple word. Lazarus. Lazarus. The dead man came out and was alive. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Believe this. Trust Jesus and take him at his word. And whenever you doubt, just say, Lazarus. And remember the event here of John chapter 11. Amen. Amen.